Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Mormon, back for our 19th level 33.1 roundtable. And I'm joined by Mr. Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What's up?
And four of our level 33.1 patrons. We have Mr. Casey Cochran.
What's up?
Mr. Joey Deanberg.
Hey, how's it going?
Mr. DJ Duena.
Good morning, good evening.
And Senor Mateo Santiago. What's up, Matt?
What's up, fellas?
So, what do you guys want to talk about? There's a lot of stuff to discuss. We have some Superman Lois we could talk about if you guys want. Not to go too in-depth, because we'll dissect that a lot when the season's over, I think. And then, of course, WandaVision, which I haven't watched, but I know some of y'all have. I want to talk about that. So those were kind of the things on my to-talk list. What, does that sound good to y'all? Or
sounds good.
Me. Sounds good.
All right. So, Lance, why don't you take over?
Okay.
And talk to everyone about WandaVision. Because I haven't seen WandaVision. All right. Not that I was like boycotting Marvel or anything, right? It's just there's so much to watch. And I thought Vision was dead. So, why are we doing this? Just like the Black Widow. I'm like, I thought Black Widow was dead. Why are we doing this? But hey, I thought Superman was dead and they made Justice League. # restore the Snyderverse. But, Lance, go ahead, take it over. And let's talk about WandaVision.
All right. So, welcome everybody to Always Hold On to WandaVision. I am your host, Lance Lasser, and with me I have the same guests that were just mentioned. So, WandaVision, thoughts? I thought it was great.
WandaVision. It was great. Oh my gosh.
I loved every minute of it and the memes, especially the show's biggest villain, the Please Stand By
thing at the end. Gosh.
See, those aren't even my favorite memes. My favorite memes are all of the Vishon memes. Have y'all seen those?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I guess you have not, because you have not been on Black Twitter, but Vishon has been, basically, they have...
Oh, I just realized what you did with that word.
Yeah, like you could kind of piece together what I'm getting at here. So like they put like a gold chain around Vision in his black shirt from the finale, and they put like a do-rag on him, and there's lots of really, really funny memes about that.
I vaguely remember seeing something like that at one point.
It's
hilarious.
I didn't
realize what it was at the time.
I thought I knew what you were talking about, but that is not what
I might be Vishon for Halloween. It's that funny.
Oh wow.
Wow.
The premise of the show. Like when you heard that this was gonna be a thing, like was it what you were expecting at all? The show?
One thing totally caught me by surprise. I didn't expect there to be another witch. I mean, I guess it makes sense that there could be, but it totally threw me off. And I guess that they're kind of were retconning that Wanda always had her powers.
Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowing.
It's true. Any other thoughts, Joey?
Yeah, what really threw me off at the very beginning was all of the people who were like, is this just going to be a sitcom? I'm like, no, I think there is more going on here. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very, very kind of obvious from the get-go what, you know, all right, she did something and we're here piecing it together. But I really loved it. And I think the thing I enjoyed the most about it was the week-to-week installments with waiting, you know, the time in between where you see people going crazy on Twitter, just thinking of different theories and things. And I thought that was kind of, it's something that I haven't done with a superhero show really since Flash and Arrow were at their peak. So it was really fun to kind of be back in that space.
Yeah. Like weekly TV, right? Yeah. This is somewhat of a foreign concept now, because like with WandaVision, we legit had to wait an entire week to watch the next episode, and like the discussions that were happening online and amongst friend groups and fandom was, you know, very similar to what Zach and I experienced when we were in high school at the lunch table, like, you know, talking about Smallville and pretty much everything else that we talked about and still talk about to this day. But that's what was going on online. It's like, and for some people, like, this concept just blew people's minds. It's like, do we not watch an episode of a show and then wait until the next week to watch the next episode? Like, I still do that with like current seasons of TV, but you know, apparently nobody else does. And so it was just really funny to watch that like in real time.
Yeah, the one release that has destroyed the concept a bit. I remember the days of Lost when we were discussing online and the what about the hatch? What about this one? What's the numbers? And this was a big game. Okay, until the very finale, but until then, it was a big game.
So let's see. We'll start with Mateo. The device of using different eras of television to tell this story, right? That was the biggest creative decision that was kind of made for this show, right? Let's start with you. We'll go around and talk about like what we thought of that.
So when I first heard about this general idea, I was a little perplexed by it, just because I was wondering like what was the overall point of it all, because Vision as we knew was dead. So I was just wondering like how does this continue Wanda's story? Like, how is he alive and things of that nature? And the way the show slowly integrated into how it connects to the modern day in the MCU and how it connects to her as a person, I thought it was incredibly smart in how they told that story. And I think if you watch the episodes individually, just like, don't even think about the overall story. I think it's just really smart how they integrate like the TV shows of that era. Like when I first watched it, you know, like the Dick Van Dyke Show, or like that was the most blatant one, but like the scene where the hearts that came over and the husband started choking and the camera angles change. I caught later on that apparently that was a connection to the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
I did not catch that. I just assumed that was just them breaking from the Dick Van Dyke Show's format, but it turns out no, they were just homaging a different show from that era.
Oh, nobody told me this was a Twilight Zone reference. Now I have to watch the show. Now I'm interested.
So I'm just like, I was just blown away. Like, I'm just enjoying the show on rewatch just because there's so much more that you're getting. Like, and there's some of them that homages are pretty blatant. Like, one that put a huge smile on my face was the Malcolm in the Middle one.
That was great.
I felt that show was like of my era that I was just like, no one like actually remembers Malcolm in the Middle. So the fact that they just blatantly just had the intro, I was just like blown away by that. And then there was a video on Watch Mojo about that episode in particular and how like the set is like similar to the set from Gilmore Girls. I was like, oh, didn't catch that. That's really cool. So it like you can tell that they actually put in the research and the work in terms of like what they wanted this show to be, and that they really wanted to make sure that this is something that people who just love television in general like loves. And it's so funny because Falcon the Winter Soldier was supposed to be the first show, and with this show being marked as like the first Marvel television show, I think it actually works better because it just feels like a beautiful homage to television in general, and it tells a great story that focuses on characters that really haven't gotten a lot of screen time.
I agree.
We barely spent any time with any of those characters, and you know, my pregnant wife was sobbing on the couch at the end of the last episode, and the small amounts of time we got to spend with them to get to that point with one show, I mean, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's impressive. Casey, what are your thoughts?
I have a few random thoughts, but one of the things was when they couldn't see the signal anymore, I was curious if they were going to look for high-definition signals coming out, because they obviously switched to high-def. And then I like how at the end they actually gave like Wanda like a legit uniform instead of just like casual clothes or whatever. I didn't really expect that to happen.
Yeah. They kind of gave us what we wanted in a lot of aspects with that, right? Like they gave her the name, right? Because up until this point she was not known or referred to as the Scarlet Witch in any of the previous films, right? She was just Wanda. Right. And so now she is officially the Scarlet Witch. And then also they left the door open for Vision to be back in the fold with, you know, the duplicate, right? The actual android that was created at this point, right? So like, it's just a different version. There must be two, as we always like to say. So like, even they are falling for that trope. But it's, you know, they didn't give us, let's get into this, they didn't give us any of the fan theories that were being tossed around for you know, weeks on end. There was no Fantastic Four. You know, Reed Richards was not rocking through that door. Neither was Magneto, right? Neither were the rest of the X-Men. So what did you guys think with that? Let's start with you, Joey.
Yeah, I think if the people writing the show had time to listen to all the theories, you know, week to week, I think, you know, some of that was just people just running absolutely wild with things. And that's where, you know, most people who are disappointed, I feel like it was just mainly disappointed that the theories didn't come through. But
I was
holding on just from the beginning. I was thinking, all right, this is going to be the grand X-Men entrance to the MCU. And, you know, it didn't end up being that way, but I mean, I thought that was the funnest part of the show, though, was just, you know, all the, you know, guessing week to week and just, you know, looking up different characters when different people pop on and trying to do some research and all of that. And I thought that was enjoyable.
Okay. DJ, what do you think?
Yeah, for me, I've only watched three episodes so far. Okay. And maybe it's going to develop, but so far...
Spoilers.
I think it's yeah. I've heard Tom is not wearing the costume. No.
Too soon.
So far, I think it's a really weird show. And I mean, weird. Even for me, I like weird. But so far, I understand the concept of the episodes and that they're moving through the eras. But so far, I haven't got a feeling what the show is about to become. I mean, I've heard the spoilers, but it's a very weird concept. And to be completely honest, I'm not enjoying it as much. It's not like, I need to see the fourth episode. I started to watch the show. And then I went, okay, let's go for a walk. It's the same.
You'll be glad you watched the fourth episode.
Yeah, it's not pulling me in so far. Maybe I have still five episodes left, but so far, yeah. But maybe it's my background. I'm not invested in Scarlet Witch in any way. I've never read the comics. For the Marvel either. Universe, I'm bound to basically the same with DC. I'm bound to the movies since the 2000s. So I know what I know from screen. So Vision and Scarlet Witch are just the characters from the movies I've seen so far. So I'm not overly invested in the characters at all. I mean, it was funny. The third episode was the one with the stage show with the him trying to be a stage magician, but. I saw the homage, but it wasn't like, I grew up with that stuff, so this is funny for me, you know? It's okay, they're doing a bit, but that's about it.
Okay, well, since we have spoiled certain things, but we have not spoiled everything.
Yeah, I know. I read the articles at the end of seasons, of episode 6 or 7, there was some huge event where everyone was suddenly like, "Whoa! What just happened?" I haven't read the articles.
We haven't said that yet on this show, so we will not say anything about that.
You can say it. I'm not afraid of spoilers. I'm okay. of the mindset that if a show is good, it still is good with already knowing the spoilers. Okay, the shock element is gone then, but For me, a show must be good even knowing the spoilers, because if it only relies on the spoilers, then it's not a good show to begin with, or a good movie to begin with, because then you watched it once and you can never watch it again because it relies on that one spoiler. So for me, knowing that Vader is his father doesn't destroy the enjoyment of episode 5. I can watch it over and over again. So,
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair. Well, in that case, then I guess my best advice to you is keep watching, because you, okay. I think it gets better from here, because the early part focuses more on like establishing the fact that this is a TV show, like the world is a TV show, and then it gets into a little bit more meat as we go along. So I think you will enjoy some of that stuff.
Okay.
Later on.
If WandaVision was a movie, I would say like the first three episodes are like the first act, and then episode 2 is like literally the beginning of act 2.
Yeah.
To put it into some sort of context. Like the story really does start to shift after episode 3.
Yeah. They just introduced the concept that her twin brother, is actually dead. So they start to pull in real world events into this imaginary world.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Any other thoughts on WandaVision?
That it kind of reminded me of a couple of movies, Pleasantville and The Truman Show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love Pleasantville.
Oh, yeah, there's some definite nods to specific things that happen in Pleasantville in the earlier episodes. So, yeah, for sure.
And that one has Spider-Man. It's all connected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Helicopter. Yep.
And the helicopter in particular. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I want to say really quickly, and I think I just love how much like fun they're having with the show, because like a lot of superhero type shows, like they're all like dreary and dark, and like even
or try
like,
to be.
Yeah. Well, more or less. But like, I don't know. I was thinking about Doom Patrol in particular. And okay. I don't want to step on any toes for anybody who loves it. I watched the first season. I thought it was fine. And I was initially looking forward to it because the episode they appeared in Titans was like, in my opinion, the best episode of that season, because it brought some life into a really dreary show. Mm-hmm. And watching that season of Doom Patrol, it just felt like it fell into the same traps where it's just like, yeah, it's weird, but it's like everyone here feels miserable. And whereas with WandaVision, I'm just like, yeah, weird things are happening, but like, it just feels like so much fun. Like you're watching this and you really do feel like Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany are having the time of their lives right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elizabeth Olsen is literally a tour de force in this show, honestly.
She's great. And so is Catherine Hahn.
Oh my gosh. How have we not talked about her?
Yeah. Well, the thing is we can't talk too much about her because DJ hasn't seen everything.
I just like to point out, you guys might not be aware, but Elizabeth Olsen is the sister of Mary-Kate and Ashley. Apparently this is...
I was not aware until like a month ago.
Are you serious? Are you one of those people? Come on, man. That was a joke.
I was going to say that.
On the internet.
I was one of those people.
She looks just like them. All right.
Yep.
I just never put it together. I never thought, never looked at her last name, and never even considered it.
Didn't they almost get her for the Full House reboot to play?
They almost did.
Oh wow. Character.
Yep. And they do an homage to Full House in one of the episodes. Yes. So yeah, they had. I mean, they had to do it, right? Like it was necessary. They had to.
It would almost feel kind of wrong if they didn't, to be honest.
Agreed.
That's also how I, like, it was the internet memes, how I found out about that. It was also how I found out about the recasting.
Okay.
Like, to touch on X-Men really quickly, I'm not going to go into spoilers, but, like, it's just so funny how, like, people were expecting X-Men, and I'm not trying to, like, make fun of anybody who like thought the X-Men were coming in, but like Kevin Feige has said like in a handful of interviews that like X-Men, like they are like years away because they had only just sealed the deal with Fox just like a year ago. So if anything, I would have thought that they would like plant the seeds for X-Men in the future. Like, cause like in the show, like they, instill the idea that Wanda may have had her powers prior to the Infinity Stone. And I'm just like, oh, like they didn't say the X gene, but but they didn't exclude it. So that's a small seed right there that can easily grow into X-Men. Like that's the beauty of Marvel, is that they think of this stuff like way ahead in the future. And I just love like how that's going to possibly play out in the future.
Yeah. We just have to be patient.
But what do you think of the general idea to mix everything with everything? Why is it such a big problem to have an X-Men universe and a MCU universe separately? Why do they have to intertwine? I've never saw the problem. I didn't even need Spider-Man in the MCU, to be honest. I love the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. I like the original X-Men movies until the third, until they started to do all the time travel stuff. I don't need to have everything with everything else intertwined. I don't need to have Darth Vader meet Captain Picard.
I hear your point. I think it's because like the hardcore fans of this stuff, right, and especially since they started doing like an interconnected universe in the Marvel universe, especially when everybody for the most part and for the longest time operated within the same city, within the same, you know, blocks of each other, right? Everybody was in Manhattan, so like the comics are this connected universe, right? So like the Avengers run into the X-Men, run into the Fantastic Four, run into Daredevil, run into the Hulk. So the fact that they did a little bit of that at the beginning of the MCU opened the door for everything. And now it's become sort of an expectation. And at the same time, it's a risk that I think Marvel is willing to take on at this point because of their success. Now, do they need to do it? No. But it's something that I think is, you know, a valid avenue to try and explore if they have the right plan in place for it.
Yeah. Well, I have something to say about this, actually. As an outsider who didn't watch WandaVision, but kind of knew what was going on, I know Paul Bettany, he teased that I'm going to work with an actor I've always wanted to work with, and that turned out to be kind of a troll
a joke?
Comment. Yeah. But, you know, I first saw Paul Bettany in A Knight's Tale, by the way, which is an extremely underrated movie, and I love it, and it's got so many famous people in it now.
So, Ulrich von Lichtenstein!
From Gelderland.
Yes.
And here's the deal, right? And I thought about The Mandalorian, how at the end, because they teased like a Luke Skywalker moment, right? Mm-hmm. Which was the dumbest thing they could possibly say. Because you know what? You know who didn't tease a Luke Skywalker moment? The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Just like, just watch.
So, you know, we watch all these things, and, you know, as DC fans, right? We're like, man, it would make sense, it'd be cool if Batman showed up here, but he can't because of there's movie rights and TV, and you understand in your head that he's never going to show up. And you're like, all right, well, that sucks. And then with this, you're like, you kind of know that, like, well, we can't use Magneto, but it'd be really cool if he showed up, and then he doesn't show up, and you're like, yeah, I knew he wasn't going to show up. You watch The Mandalorian, you're like, you know, it would make perfect sense and be really awesome if Luke Skywalker showed up, but they're never going to do it. Because it's just not how it works. And then they do it. You're like, oh my God, they did it. You know? So that would be such an amazing thing to happen. It's like, you know, back when Arrow and the Flash did stuff that made sense when they crossed over, it was like,
yes.
Why wouldn't the Flash just come in and help? Oh, he just came in and helped. You know? I mean, that's cool. And those are crossovers. But I think, I mean, it makes sense for Marvel in Phase 4 to lean into the Fantastic Four. And I just assume cast all the same people. You know, from the Tim Story movies, you know, Chris Evans might be complicated to explain, but other than that, you know, I don't know. I guess everybody wants Jim and his wife to be Jack Ryan and Edge of Tomorrow to be the Mr.
and Mary
Mrs.
Poppins.
Fantastic. Yeah, Mary Poppins. That's it. Mary Poppins. I think of her as many characters, but not Mary Poppins.
Devil Worth. Prada.
There it is. Wolfman. She was in the Wolfman with Benicio del Toro. That's the first thing I saw her in. But
oh, wow. Okay.
You know, she was, we're talking about Emily Blunt. She was almost Black Widow. Do you guys know that?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. I think she was pregnant or something at the time and couldn't be in the role. So that's why they cast Scarlett Johansson. So that ties into my original kind of sarcastic comment about, like, why, I mean, these characters are dead, right? Like, I don't, like, oh, we're getting a Black movie, Widow movie now. We're getting a Vision TV show here. It's like, use the characters when they should, but I guess with backup characters, auxiliary characters, whatever you want to call them, characters that are not going to get their own movie, this is perfect, right? The Disney Plus format. And Falcon and Winter Soldier, this looks exciting. Mm-hmm. Although one of them is Captain America.
Yeah, I know.
Called the show Captain America, but that's its own.
And they should have called the show Captain America and Bucky.
Yeah.
Right. But are they, maybe they're going to, maybe part of it's going to be like, which of us is going to be Captain America? Like, if I were them, I'd be like, Captain America should be the guy Captain America gave the shield to. That's who Captain America should be. But, we'll see. But
I wanted them to, just have him be the White Wolf, like how Black Panther named him.
Yeah, to have him be in Black Panther 2. Who's going to be Black Panther? I guess Suri?
That's maybe? What I think.
I actually think they're going to... I forget the character's name. Lupita Nyong'o's character.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I think
is. Oh, his girlfriend.
His girlfriend. Look,
it's either going to be the mom or the dad from Us. All right? One of those two is going to be the new Black Panther. There's your Black Panther, too. It's Us.
I had a random thought that I was wondering if maybe one of the other tribesmen would become the actual Black Panther. But
M'Baku. Or get out. Yeah. What's his... Daniel... What's his last name?
Kaluuya?
Kaluuya.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's... that guy's a great actor. Have you guys seen Judas and the Black Messiah yet?
Oh, it's so good.
HBO Max, right? Best streaming service there is. But anyway. Yeah, there's lots... I mean, it's a very unfortunate situation they're in, obviously, with Chadwick Boseman, right? Mm-hmm. But they do have lots of options. Like, if any superhero was... Well, you had to replace him, right? I think he has the best cast of supporting characters where you're not going to roll your eyes and be like, really, they're the next Black Panther? You know, because I think if there's so many other characters, if you had to replace them, like, that's the next Iron Man, I guess Spider-Man's the next Iron Man, so I roll my eyes at that. So that's just proved my point. But, the Marvel Universe still has some life into it, you know? I mean, every time I'm like, whatever, I'm done. Like, I think it was, after Ultron... And I was there's too many of these. Who cares? But then I saw Doctor Strange. I'm like, you know what? That was really good. I think I'm back. And I'm like, Endgame. It's series finale. Good. Call it a day. So, I haven't seen WandaVision, obviously, but everybody seems to really love it. There's good vibes about Captain America and Winter Soldier, whatever it's called. Back in Falcon and Bucky or whatever it's called. So we'll see. What's Loki's after this, right?
Loki's after that, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's when I'm like, why are we doing this?
he's another one who would...
Because it's Hiddleston.
Yeah.
No
more resurrections this time.
He's from one of those branch timelines.
That's but all this is such Marvel MCU bull because it's like... everyone is dead, but then literally everyone has been killed and comes back to life. There are zero stakes. Like, you know Captain America's gonna... I mean, he's my favorite Marvel character. I love to hear him show up. But, like, all this thing about how he's old, you know he's going to come back at some point. Chris Evans is, like, 5 years from now when his independent film, you know, kind of like... He's like, I need to finance more of my lifestyle. I'm going to come back
see...
be Captain America.
I want to see him returning the Infinity Stones.
I watch that movie in heartbeat.
It's such an obvious thing. They have this entire, like... What did he do? Where was he in history? Forget Loki jumping around history. I want to see Captain America living through, you know, America. Yeah. And then show him, do like a Back to the Future 2 thing where he's like in scenes that we saw before. Like, that'd be cool. But I think he's done.
Well, there you go. Like, you know, you're talking about the typical Marvel MCU bullshit, which it is. But at the same time, it's not like some of the things that they have tried have not worked and it doesn't make sense for them to do it. Granted, some of it is stupid, right? Admittedly. Yeah. But, like, if it works to do, like, again, Captain America, he's done, he's old, but there's still an avenue and still a way to see more stories with him. Same thing with, like, Black Widow. Like, they should have given us this movie 10 years ago, right? But, like, where it's placed, because, like, Chris Nolan, they can't tell anything in chronological order. So that's why it will, quote-unquote, make sense to have her movie, right? But I do see your point. But, like, they do find a way, Lou.
What is one character from Marvel who has died, who has not come back to life? Let's think about this. Because the Abomination, who didn't die, but we forgot about, he's going to be in the She-Hulk show.
Yes, he is.
Tim Roth is coming back.
Yep.
You know, why do they keep bringing these people back? Like, they try to ignore Incredible Hulk, and they're like, here's William Hurt as Thunderbolt Ross. I'm like, what? I thought we were over this. But really, who's a character who has died?
Spider-Man's uncle.
Uncle Benny.
Look, we all know there's
Agent Coulson,
who came back to life and starred in a TV show. Casey,
yeah,
that has been confirmed is not canon.
That's not what we're talking about. 7 years they sold. They're like, oh, we killed the one guy we could have done a TV show about. Well, let's just bring him back. There is no Uncle Ben in the MCU. That's been established. Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker will tell Tom Holland's Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. And whenever they do live action Spider-Verse, that's exactly what's going to happen. Everyone else has come back to life.
Yeah. I was about to say Frigga, Rene Russo, but no, she came back in Endgame.
She came back in. Yeah, they found ways to like, I'm not saying just literal resurrections, but like Quicksilver. But
yeah, Quicksilver.
He came back in a way, but not the same one. That's true. That's so dumb. Like, it's such an obvious thing to it's like, that them not resurrecting Quicksilver is like Star Trek not resurrecting William Shatner's Captain Kirk, you know, for like when they rebooted. They're like, well, he's dead. I'm like, you're doing a time travel alternate universe story, and you're telling me you can't resurrect William Shatner's Captain Kirk. What is your problem? But anyway, Kick-Ass 3, huh? See him in that.
He could be. There is a graphic novel for Kick-Ass 3, so.
But I think that Millarverse is great. The Kick-Ass movies?
No, I think they're going to do what they're currently doing in the comics, because the fourth iteration of that, there's a new Kick-Ass that's not Dave.
Did Matthew Vaughn direct the second one?
No.
No, it wasn't him?
I think it was a first-time director, honestly.
Hmm. All right, that's why it wasn't as good. Matthew Vaughn's best. X-Men First Class is still
Odin
like,
has not come back to
three.
Life.
Odin?
Yes.
That's a good one.
Thor's old dad died. Wow, wait a... Way to really push the envelope for characters there. Like, seriously, like, look at the Winter Soldier, right? Like, oh, yeah. Bucky, you thought he was dead? I mean, that's like, everybody says it's the best Marvel movie. It very well may be, right? It's in the top five or whatever. Yeah. But you thought Bucky was dead? Nope, he's back. You thought Zola was dead? Nope, he's a computer. Yeah. Oh, Nick Fury's dead? No, faked his death.
Faked it.
To be fair, the stuff like this happens at DC all the time. Was it like an Arrow? Literally, Sarah.
Everybody's back
like three times and comes back. Laurel Everybody's dies. Back. Technically,
Thea dies. Thea dies and comes back. Oliver should have been dead after he was kicked off a mountain after being stabbed in the chest. Right? He should have died. Like the impact. Like everything should have been dead.
Zach Deacon has now two children.
When people die on Smallville, they stay dead. All right.
Except for Lionel Luthor.
Lex.
Yes. Except for Lionel
and Lionel. Yep, let's gotcha.
I should have a resurrection count. Let's see. Whitney came back as Tina.
Alicia
Greer.
Stayed dead.
Yeah, Whitney.
Lana died.
Whitney are the only ones who stayed dead.
People, Lex faked his death or died many times. Lionel, alternate universe, ghost dad. Mm-hmm. Look, Jason Teague never came back from the dead.
Well, there you go.
That's a missed opportunity. Jason Teague should have shown up as like Lana's husband in one of these alternate universes. I mean,
that would have been
like,
awesome.
Because he kind of did
like,
come back
he's
from
right
the dead.
Here. He's across the way shooting Supernatural. Like, get him here for a day, you know, and just bring him over. Because I don't like when he runs into Lana. No, he doesn't, because that's season 7. Oh, he sees some engagement announcement with Lana and some random guy or.
Yeah, Apocalypse.
He runs into Chloe, I think, in Apocalypse. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And her fiance is the Warrior Angel.
Yeah, the actor, but yeah. Not in the universe. But that's my headcanon. That's the same guy. That same kid.
Do you count flashbacks or time travel as far as characters that stayed dead?
You see, okay, these are
because it seems because your issue basically is just with comic books in general, because this is what they do.
Well, comic books are terrible. All right, we all know. All right, to answer you, Casey, and you, Mateo, the way Arrow did Tommy was the right way to do it. Here's a character who existed in a certain part of time. When we're in that time period, we're going to find a way to show him. We're going to keep teasing he comes back. And then at the very end of the series finale, we're going to give you what you want. Everybody's fine. Except for Laurel, because we have to do the spinoff show. Oh, wait. We didn't get it. Crap. I guess we'll solve this all in a crossover one day. Anyway. Yes,
and don't forget Moira.
My problem is lack of stakes. That's my problem.
Okay. Cool. Well, again, welcome to the universe that all these characters that we love live in.
Well, to your point earlier about Infinity War, it was like, you know, the first couple people start disappearing. Like, that's a ballsy ending. And then it's like, oh, they just erase the people who have sequels. Never mind.
Yes.
Like Black Widow, even though she's coming back in this movie, it's a flashback, obviously. I don't think she's literally going to come back to life, so
not yet. How does Captain America return the Soul Stone? That's what I want to know.
That's why I want to see the Captain America movie where he returns all the stones.
And he has to fight Red Skull to get the stone back.
I think with the Black Widow movie, it's supposed to, like, kind of close out Scarlett Johansson Black Widow story and set up Florence Pugh's character.
Oh yeah, obviously.
Yeah, because like there's rumors that she's supposed to be in the Hawkeye show, so
yeah, likely.
I guarantee that like if they do Black Widows 2 and 3, it's going to be starring Florence Pugh. I'm willing to bet on that.
Oh, that's a safe bet.
Yep. And as for Loki, this is my my John Glover issue. I don't care. I like Tom Hiddleston. I can see more Loki. It doesn't make sense to have him there, but I don't care. It's the same with Lionel Luthor.
The Loki's going to be the equivalent of the Lionel Luthor from Earth 2 on Smallville.
Well, those are the best things about Season 10, so I guess I can't complain. Although I do like how they literally kill Thanos at the beginning of Endgame, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's another version of him shows up.
There must be two.
Comes back in the same movie.
It's the same. I don't even know who you are, right? To tie it all together. So, cool. Well, that's enough Marvel talk. This is a DC podcast. Enough of that nonsense.
Well, you can find us at Always Hold On to WandaVision on Twitter.
That's a short
you
podcast.
Can send us an email.
You can be done with that in 2 months.
Yep.
See us next month for Always Hold On to Falcon Winter Soldier.
So, is there? They're just saying this is done, right? There's not any.
Well, with no, this is with, not another season.
With WandaVision, yes, because she's going to come back in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Directed by Sam Raimi from Spider-Man, so you know Tobey Maguire's going to swing through one of those portals, all right?
And they say that a hero can save us.
Not going to stand here
and
wait.
They're already bringing back Dr. Octopus. Mm. Yeah, not in that movie, but in the next
Spider-Man 3
movie.
Looks like it's either going to be the most amazing Easter egg movie of all time, or it's going to be a complete mess. It's probably going to be both. So
it's going to be just like the Flash movie.
Except there actually will be a Spider-Man 3. I am still a DC fan at heart first, but I've accepted that Marvel is just amazing. And
Casey,
I will absolutely
Casey, we're losing
sing...
you. Casey, is he? And so, guys, I'm so sorry we had to say bye to Casey. There's something wrong with Casey. No, look, we all know it. We're all sitting here. We all know the current state.
I would never miss another Marvel movie again. How long it took me to get into Avengers? Well, basically, the Marvel Cinematic Universe was when Avengers came out. I went to the all-day marathon that started at 11:30 in the morning, ended with the midnight premiere of Avengers, and the only movie I'd seen at the time was Iron Man. That got me into the MCU. It was all brand new to me. I absolutely loved it. I've been hooked ever since.
Oh, wow.
What about, did you go see the all-day DC EU marathon for Justice League?
Get you I didn't even know if they had one.
No, I probably did. There's low demand. There's no demand for that, unfortunately. Yeah.
I did. Okay, hold on. I did see Dark Knight trilogy, but I had already seen that. That
wasn't what a letdown to end that day. No. It's like these are the two greatest superhero movies of all time, and then this third movie they just phoned in.
That was a lot shorter, and I went at 6 p.m. and saw all three movies back to back to back.
What's your favorite Chris Nolan Batman movie, Casey? What's your favorite one?
Probably The Dark Knight.
It's good. It's a safe choice. It's good.
Yeah.
I like origin movies. I like Batman Begins the best. I see what Dark Knight is a great movie, but I just love origin movies. I can watch origin movies pilot episodes over and over again. I don't know why, but it's just my gig.
I think I've come to that conclusion. So I think Batman Begins might be better, but it's like Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. It's like it's hard to say. It's like what mood you're in, right? Which one's better? But it's definitely not Return of the Jedi. You know what I'm saying? So same thing for the Chris Nolan trilogy.
But then again, I didn't know who Ra's al Ghul was, so I don't have a problem with Liam Neeson.
But you say his name right, so that's what matters. But
honestly, that is really all that matters.
What's your take?
Oh, on the Dark Knight movies?
Yeah.
No, on Ra's versus Ra's.
Ra's al Ghul is dead. Who are you working for?
So I have a really interesting history with those three movies in particular. Just because I was like 8 years old when Batman Begins came out, and my dad took it to see me in IMAX, and Scarecrow like scared the living mess out of me.
That's terrifying. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, and so like literally it traumatized me to where I refused to see Dark Knight in theaters, which I I claim it's like one of the biggest mistakes of my life, because when I eventually saw on HBO, I was like, I wish I saw this in theaters. And then I love those two movies. And then Dark Knight Rises came out, and funny enough, like the same day that I directed my very first short film was the day I saw that film. Like, I literally finished shooting my film and then I went straight to the theaters. And to be honest, I was just on air. Like, that I literally was just like, I don't even care if this movie like is good or bad. Like, the movie has serious problems, but honestly, like, I think I associate my memory with that so much that I just love the movie just because.
No, that's fair. Nostalgia and like where you are in life and you see stuff is a good it's an influencer on what you think of the movie. So absolutely. So
yeah. But really quickly on WandaVision.
Yeah.
Even though it's done, like, there's nothing stopping Marvel from being like, hey, in 3 years from now, we're going to have a new show called Vision and the Scarlet Witch.
There it is. Well, cool. Any final thoughts then, Joey, on anything we've said so far?
I was going to say, yeah, for the record, I put Batman Begins just a tad above The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of earlier when we were saying having the – in terms of like spoilers and the twist, you know, if it dictates the movie, if you found out that whatever her name was actually Talia the whole time,
yeah,
where, you know, and where they just kind of directly lie to you throughout the entire movie,
that
twist was like, oh my god, I think I just saw a really good movie. But like, if you look back, no, there's nothing hinting that she's actually
And I think going into it, if anyone had seen that set picture of Marion Cotillard in, you know, in the Talia costume, right? I'm like, well, she's Talia. Oh no! Benedict Cumberbatch isn't Khan. Like, shut up, people. Like, just tell us anyway.
That movie does a great job of tricking you to think that was an amazing twist.
Well, when Ghost Dad Ra's al Ghul tells Bruce Wayne, yeah, Bane's my son, we're like, okay. Like, that's not clever that you lied to us. Like, yeah, that's not...
Yeah, anyway. That's a big pet peeve of mine when something doesn't make sense in retrospect. So they make this really big twist and then, oh, I should have seen this coming. And then you watch it, no, I couldn't have seen this coming because it wasn't there. That's what I really, really don't like. So if you prepare something really, really well, like, for example, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Babylon 5. Babylon 5 can watch it for the fourth time and still discover things in the early episodes that hint at things that happen in season 4.
Oh, yeah, I love Babylon 5.
That's really good. But to do some twist and then, no, that's been this way all along.
Babylon 5 is like one of the, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not going to, like, you know, well, there are like a dozen things I could say about twists on Babylon 5, but the setup there is so good. And then it gets paid off. You're like, it all makes sense to, for the most part. Currently remastered in HD on HBO Max. So everybody go check it out. So, Superman and Lois. My favorite episode was the third episode. And I quickly
Smallville episode.
The Smallville episode. Maybe that's why I liked it, right? Literally the third episode of Superman and Lois was the third episode of Smallville. So that was cool. And mm-hmm. I realized that I don't need General Lane or Luthor in this show. You guys have heard me talking about it. I've said my piece. You guys liking the show, I assume? It seems to be very popular with everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about your take on Tyler at the moment, because like, he's really starting to like become one of my favorite interpretations of Clark and Superman.
I know, it's the whole Justin Hartley, Stephen Amell situation again for me. I'm like, you're not Justin Hartley. Go away, Stephen Amell. And I'm like, oh, he's pretty good. I mean, no, all props to Tyler. Now, again, I don't know why they keep putting Tyler up against these like monstrous-sized people, because he just looks small. Like, they put Daniel Cudmore is 6'7". And I'm like, Superman looks like he's 5'2", standing up to this guy. But you're right. I think Tyler's doing a fantastic job. And it's going to be one of these situations where I have a favorite, but I also have to say, well, these are equally good as well. So I'll have to stop throwing shade at Tyler for being my fourth favorite Superman now, because he really is charming. And now we're going to see more of him being like Goofy Clark, maybe, like, because he's going to help out with the football team. And I want to see him interact with more people. And yeah, I've been very impressed with what they've done with him so far. My least favorite thing about him is the costume now. So who would have thought that would be my complaint, right? So, but again... Smallville guy, I have no right to complain about a costume.
That's correct.
But Tyler's moving up the ranks. I mean, no one's going to be better than Christopher Reeve. And then being the Smallville guy, Tom is solid number two. And I guess Tyler has a good shot to be number three. So unless we get that Kingdom Come Brandon Routh show, watch out.
Yeah, I also thought that when he was in the motel room, why did they pick this huge guy to put him in front of it? But on the other hand, Superman's strength is not in his muscles. So basically, he could also be tiny. It wouldn't make a difference because his actual size, his actual muscles are not what gives him the powers. So in this case, size doesn't really matter. Which was also, I think, this was also discussed during the Christopher Reeve Superman casting. I think in one of the interview tapes back from the day, they discussed this. He doesn't need to have huge muscles like the when you remember the 60s, all these gladiator movies, you had these really huge guys. And they didn't want that actually for Superman because it didn't matter for the role that you had someone who had more muscles than you could count. So I really liked the fight in this episode between Superman and whatever that other guy was.
Colossus.
And I also liked the goofiness of Clark. As for me, I put Brandon Routh over Christopher Reeve.
Oh wow. Sorry, we lost. Well, DJ, we lost you.
I really, really like Superman Returns. I know I'm in a minority, but if you want to hear my argument eloquently, look up a two-parter by Steve Shives where he explains why Superman Returns is great. Watch that. This is basically my argument for this movie.
Well, for that to speak on Routh, like I think it's the same thing, right? Because Routh, Superman Returns coming, I'm like, why did they cast Tom Welling? Wow, right? This is how it always starts this way. You're like, you're not the person that I like already, and then they win you. The only person this didn't for me, honestly, thinking it through, like Ben Affleck as Batman, I'm like, that's perfect. I can't wait to see him as Batman. You were awesome as Batman. You're so much better than everyone else, except for Michael Keaton, maybe, but he's my favorite from childhood. So like literally all the other ones, you're like, you're not the current version that I like, so I don't like you. And then they end up winning me over. So, but that's not always the case, Jesse Eisenberg, but it's often the case. So Joey, what do you think of the show so far?
Yeah, I've absolutely loved it. It's been this last episode I thought was encapsulated exactly what I want, you know, have all the family stuff. I liked him just, oh, I got to zip off real quick and take care of this little tragedy and then come right back. And it's unfortunate. It's probably just, you know, watching Smallville for so long that the Superman stuff is like, I don't need any more of that right now. I just want to, you know, when he lifted up the tractor, I was just like, yes, more super farm tasks. That's my absolute favorite part of Smallville. And I hope that they can really channel that great acting that John Schneider had with the hay bales and
just so heavy.
So it's more so I'm just, you know, just excited for probably more of the Smallville nature of the show, but I've loved every bit of it so far.
Tyler Hoechlin's Clark Kent is really giving me some kind of Dean Cain vibes. I almost forget that he's not the same actor as Dean Cain, just based on his voice, just hearing him talk on the show as Clark Kent.
One thing, like, with this show, I'm just, like, amazed of every week is just how they encompass the spirit of both Smallville and Lois and Clark, but it stands on its own two feet as its own thing. And, like, even though, like, I go in kind of nervous about the teens being too angsty or whatever like that, you get the episode beginning with them painting or even having just a fun conversation about what Clark hears when he's using his super hearing. And like, it's great light moments that also builds on the story. Like you think that the super hearing thing is just like a throwaway joke, but actually plays a fundamental part in the actual episode, like specifically with the school fight, which I think it's probably my favorite scene of the whole series so far, because it just puts such a new perspective on what it means to be Superman, where you hear your children in pain. Like you can actually hear like they're in distress and you want to go in and stop that, stop it from happening at the beginning. And like, luckily Clark was smart enough to break up the fight without actually having to physically intervene. And it's just like incredibly smart how they're able to tell these stories to where Superman is incredibly relatable and you're able to kind of like just enjoy like the drama more than the action itself. And the action itself is still in it, like it's fascinating because like, yeah, like Superman is shorter than Colossus and like we like to make fun of that, but I think the fight itself is actually pretty clever where, yeah, the guy's bigger than him, but like it requires Superman to be smarter. Like we don't normally see that. Normally he is fighting with just brute strength. So the fact that he just like freezes the guy and then uppercuts him. And it's just like, I love seeing this new, like this new version of Superman that we just don't normally. I'm just really enjoying this show so far. And I'm nervous that they're going to drop the ball at a certain point. Like my expectations wait, get
right? Yeah. No, it's like it's all going too well right now, right? But you're absolutely right. Like before the show came out, I think we're all like, yeah, it's like Smallville and Lois and Clark put together, but like a sequel. But that is like the elevator pitch for the show, and it has been that. But like in all the best aspects of both those shows. So, I mean, for Tyler, he's never going to be my favorite Superman. I think Bitsy has a shot at being my favorite Lois Lane, to be honest.
She's great.
Erica for me forever.
Fair enough. See, but the thing is, I watched Smallville for 7 years and she wasn't Lois Lane. That's the problem for me. So
yes, she was.
Now she's top three. You know, those are my top. I mean, but they're my top three Lois Lanes. You know, so
what I liked about the episode is two times they went to the dramatic. One with the they discovered that he wasn't listening, that he was listening to them, and the second time with the flip out by Sarah. And both times it didn't went into the melodramatic. Both times they recovered, first with Clark apologizing to his sons, the second times with an honest heart-to-heart between Lana and Sarah. So I really like that they don't do the Smallville drama where, oh, everything is, oh.
Right. Well, now, Lance, this reminds me of early Arrow. The way, like, to your point, DJ, how they address these things like normal
maturely,
people would talk, right?
Yes.
So early Arrow, I mean, like the first 2.5 seasons.
Yes. Arrow, so. Yeah. Mostly first two, but 2.5 being generous because there are some good elements in the early part of season three, but yes.
Who do you guys think the first legacy casting is going to be? Because, I mean, every Superman property is always filled with them, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I think it's really cool that they cast the same actors who played Superman and Lois on Supergirl. Like, this is clearly a different universe. So I think it's really cool they brought those actors over to this show. You guys, I mean, like, this is not the same universe. I mean, it is.
Oh, it is, yeah.
But I don't know, like, as long as John Cryer would be a great legacy casting as Lex Luthor, I'd love to see him, but
I would love for them to bring Terry Hatcher back just because they completely wasted her on Supergirl.
Yeah. Supergirl
how do you
used
have
up.
Her and Dean Cain on the same season of the same show.
The same episode.
The same episode. And they don't have a scene.
Yep.
So dumb. That'd be like, you know what that'd be like if you got, you know, River Tam from Firefly and Simon Tam and you got them to be in the same episode of your show and they didn't have a scene together. Can you imagine if they did that, Lance? That'd be so dumb.
It is dumb. And you know what? It was dumb.
They did that in an episode of Arrow, just in case you didn't know what I was talking about. Mm.
That'd be like on Spin City when they got Christopher Lloyd to come back and if they wouldn't have had him in the same scene with Michael J. Fox.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But they did do that on Spin City, so good on them. At least they knew what they were doing. So
right.
Yeah, Supergirl used up most of the options.
Well, we got Terrence Stamp could come back as someone.
Aaron, I've got my money on Aaron Ashmore.
Oh, or Sean Ashmore. Either one.
Yeah. Either one.
They already got Colossus, and they got Iceman's mom, who was Maggie Sorrow on Smallville. Just keep going to the X2 casting. Well, no, I think, you know, this show, that's the difference about this show. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be gimmicky like that. I think they're going to be like, this is a new, much the way like Man of Steel was like, this is Superman, right? We're going to give you a 2-second CGI just to reface when he's flying up the world engine. You can never tell me that's not what they did. But other than that, there's no winks, nods, you know, But actually, I say that, but there was like 12 people from Smallville and Man of Steel. So yeah. I just, well, never mind. And, Amy Adams. And, I want to see Amy Adams on Superman as Lucy Lane. I want to see Amy Adams as Lucy Lane.
Oh my God.
Now, I don't know if you guys, Aaron Smolinski, I think his name's Smolinski. He played in the Christopher Reeve movie, the toddler.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's been in every single feature film.
Isn't he the one that says they have Superman in tow and Martian Manhunter? Yeah. Martian Manhunter says Superman, right?
Yeah. And he was also, I'm pretty sure he came back and he was in Superman 3 with
the photo booth, right?
The photo booth. He's the kid who's right there too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Was that him or what? No, the photo booth is correct. The one in Man of Steel says Superman. Was that Dan Turpin from Smallville? Also, the football player from Hothead who got his arm burned by the dad from Wonder Years. Those guys
in the third episode.
In the third episode. That's right. So I guess the football coach doesn't have pyro powers in this universe.
Nope.
Nobody got him a sauna.
Nope. So. No, that brother's not going in there.
I just thought of a legacy cast thing they need to do. But it's kind of a vague idea more than an actual casting. They need to figure out a way to get one of the previous Lois Lanes to be Lois Lane's mother, as they always seem to like to do in other series.
Well, unfortunately, Erica Durant is Supergirl's mom.
Yeah.
So we can't do that.
Why not? It's a multiverse.
Exactly.
Yeah. Erica's a little, like, she would be more of a Lucy. Like, they're more sisters.
I was thinking that, literally.
I know who they could use if they want to use.
A few minutes ago.
If they want to do Lois Lane's mom on the show.
Dana Delaney.
Oh, yeah. My God.
She's a great actress, like on screen, right? In addition to doing good stuff with voices, get Dana.
I hate that you guys mentioned that because I'm gonna be disappointed if they don't do it.
Let's have her as the Phantasm, though, Lance. That'd be cool.
Oh man, that'd be dope.
Let's get Batman on the show first.
I'm shocked Arrow didn't fight the Phantasm at some point. They went through every other Batman villain.
They kind of did. They made him Prometheus in season 5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good point. The voice
Tom
of
Welling needs to.
The voice of Michael Dorn.
Tom Welling needs to come back as another character too, because every other Superman actor tends to do that as well.
Well, you know, they haven't cast Lex Luthor yet in this universe, so it'd be great to see Tom Welling as Lex.
Wow, that'd be weird.
I actually really.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be too weird because he was good as a evil character.
Okay, let's talk. Oh, thank you for bringing up Jor-El. Horrible Jor-El. I like.
Oh my God! I hated that.
He looks like your dad in a Superman costume, like on Halloween at work or something. You know, like it's just so. I like the beard for Jor-El. I like how that's kind of become a thing. Like Gary Frank sort of drawn him with a beard in the comic books, and then Russell Crowe had one. But I'm like, yikes! I didn't like him at all as Jor-El. Very disappointed.
That should have been Tom Welling.
Like, literally, yes. All he has to do is be on his computer and record a voice. Like, honestly, like, Smallville kind of spoiled me with the voice of Jor-El, where, like, I didn't need a hologram of him. Like, just give me Tom Welling's voice and I'm happy.
Yeah, that's a great point. You're like, all right, Tom, you don't have to wear anything. Michael Rosenbaum can teach you how to be a voice actor, and then he can come in and do. Yeah, that would have been. I think that seeing the Jor-El hologram on Superman and Lois were like, oh, wow, I think Smallville was smart to just have the voice now.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I was like, oh, yeah, Braveheart and the bad guy in Equilibrium. Like, cool. Angus McFadden? Disappointing.
I think if they had done that, we wouldn't be appreciating it like we say we would
Tom Welling now.
Yeah. Yes. If they had done him as a voice, we would have said, we would have just been complaining about, oh, now that's two Kryptonian suits he's not wearing.
Can you imagine Tom Welling in that costume, that Jor-El costume?
That's hilarious.
I
think that's a great point, though. I think them avoiding all of the legacy casting and all that is good for the show to find its own identity. Mm-hmm.
This early.
Yes, because if you start relying on that stuff, that shows that you have, you know, You're just it's a crutch, right?
Kind of like
and
the Flash movie.
They're not doing that.
I guess
like
we got
Flash
lucky
movie.
With Annette O'Toole as Martha Kent. Then,
well, I mean, it's a good point because like Smallville kind of established itself like, way early before we even got of legacy castings. Like because Christopher Reeve didn't show up until like late season 2.
And Ed O'Toole was a recast. It was someone else initially. Mm-hmm. So there is that.
Yeah, and for me, Smallville is always be Dukes of Hazzard. So if there's one legacy casting, it's Jonathan, not Martha Kent.
Speaking of Jonathan, did anyone else notice that the young Jonathan almost looks like he could be a young Jonathan from Smallville?
Oh, a young John Snyder.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Blonde,
I see it
yeah.
now you mentioned it.
Maybe
he has that vibe.
They should get those guys for the Dukes of Hazzard reboot that's going to happen on CW. They call it Dukes. Dukes or they call it Hazzard?
Oh, it's Dukes.
Dukes.
Yeah. And yes, they would have to use a different car.
Yes, so, they would.
Yeah, I'm really loving Superman and Lois. Like I'm very like I don't know. Like it's funny because you know you guys have heard about how much Lance and I like didn't want to like Arrow mm-hmm. when it started. Like why are you in Lex Luthor's house?
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I love the show already, yeah. you know? And I wasn't, like, rooting against it either. Maybe because we were kind of, like, slowly warmed up to it because they introduced Tyler and Bitsy, like, over the yeah. years on Supergirl, you know?
We'd seen them before, yeah.
Yeah, I do wish Tyler would be clean-shaven when he was Superman. They used to do that. But
yeah.
I'm just nitpicking now, and that's a good place to be, right? But speaking, yeah. I'll wrap it up here with the legacy casting talk. You guys haven't heard the episode. I've recorded it on already for Smallville about... the Linda Carter episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible episode.
Okay.
That is a terrible episode of Smallville.
Nope.
If you enjoyed it, you're not going to like the podcast. I'm sorry. Just tear it apart.
I literally just rewatched it like 2 days ago and I'm like, this isn't that bad.
Oh, yeah. I remembered liking it though. I think maybe that was the problem. because they just completely wait. And Smallville did this a lot. They waste legacy casting on weird, like, oh, be Chloe's mom, Wonder Woman. No, that's no. That doesn't make any sense. Like, have
Dean
her be
Cain
a
Kryptonian. Is the epitome
you have
of that.
A good point there.
Dean Cain, come in and be not Vandal Savage because we're going to use him in a movie one day and then never bring him back. It's like, hey, Jackie Childs, what happened to Dean Cain? And Jackie Childs says he's immortal. I just put him somewhere he can't escape. That's Martian Manhunter, by the way.
I told him to put the bomb on. Who told him to put the bomb on?
They're real and they're spectacular.
Indeed.
Where's the scene between Phil Morris, Eric Durant, and Terry Hatcher on Smallville? But no, like, we talk about that in that episode. I'm like I go down the list of like they wasted every single legacy casting except for Christopher Reeve. I think that was perfect. But after that, yeah. they were just like, hey, we got Helen Slater. Helen Slater is great on Supergirl. I think she fits yeah. that role very nicely. Yeah. I like the vibe mm-hmm. she has with Melissa Benoist. But on Smallville, she's like. It just never clicked for me. Her as his mom, and Julian Sands. That's some legacy casting for you. The Warlock, right? Was that the movie he was in the 80s? I don't even know. He's in Ocean's 13, by the way. I don't know if anyone knew that, but he's the guy that's in charge of the statistics machine in the basement yep. of Al Pacino's casino. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, is that Julian Sands? Who they cast because he looked like a young Terrence Stamp? Because they're like, one day we'll see Terrence Stamp on the show, but they didn't. And then it was like, why is Julian Sands Tom Welling's dad? It yeah. doesn't make any sense.
Despite the poor legacy casting choices that they made on Smallville, I absolutely love that they did it with all these characters and actors, especially Terry Hatcher, because that was the least likely one I thought was going to happen. I was shocked when they brought her in, even if it was a flashback on a old cassette, a video cassette tape. I absolutely loved that they did it because it was a really great surprise to me. And I never thought, like, not only did they actually have her be on Smallville, like they literally made her Lois Lane's mother, which I never thought that would happen.
Oh, and absolutely. A great scene, and it made sense in the story because her mom had passed away. So here's a videotape. I'm like, all right, like yes, absolutely correct. Like that was a great legacy casting and season 10. So they got her in right in before the lock for Terry Hatcher. But Phyllis Coates, who played Lois on Adventures of Superman, the first Lois Lane, she played Terry Hatcher's mom in the season one finale of right. Lois and Clark. So I think that's a cool legacy thing. So yeah, I don't. I mean, yeah, we'll see a videotape of Lois's mom one day here, but who's it going to be? So,
One question that was brought up before is, though, you always on the Smallville podcast talk about how does the Kent have constantly money problems? Here it's the reverse. How they don't have money problems. Clark is out of a job. Lois works at a small-time newspaper. Clark is doing freebies for the football team. Mm-hmm. No one is working on the farm. They have to pay off the mortgage that they took over. So where's the money actually coming from in this show so far?
Clark probably just quickly does all the farm chores in the morning. Okay.
Or he will.
Yep.
He, Superman, he just goes to a coal mine and starts crushing rocks and getting some diamonds. And, done. Problem solved. Next plot.
I saw that back in Superman 3.
Yeah. No, those are great points about that's why. And then their car blew up.
So. Yeah. Gotta get a new one of those.
Don't talk about the digital fire. I hate digital fires. It's the uncanny valley of special effects. I understand why they do them, but for the past few years, whenever you see a digital fire, it just looks fake. You go back to the 80s, A-Team, MacGyver, they actually blow stuff up, and now it just looks fake.
The Flash, the third episode of The Flash, which we just covered on the Patreon, so everybody go check that out. I mean, all you guys have access to it, but I don't need to sell y'all. But the most expensive episode of the Flash season one is the third episode where there's an arsonist and they keep blowing up buildings. Because back in the 90s, they literally blew up some buildings, you know? Yep. Some real fire. I got to say, this has been nice talking about some Smallville, y'all. I mean, this is a Smallville podcast, and usually we're talking about, you know, Snyder Cut this or Marvel that. So it's nice to talk some Smallville. This is good. And this is great about Superman and Lois because, like, it's a natural, like, Succession. You can talk about Smallville through Superman and Lois, and it's going to, you know, And I guess it's going to be a cycle as we all get older and watch newer versions of the stories we saw, because it's like, this is like seeing, you know, joking about how this is the same third episode that Smallville had. This is clearly a better episode than that, right? Mm-hmm, but it's the same beats, but I'm like, oh, it's a new, not saying I don't like that episode of Smallville anymore, right? But I can see how, like, television has evolved and I have evolved, like, you know, and I just connect with it better. So, which by the way, current events for actresses aside, I think the Lois Lane's friend who works at the Gazette should have been Chloe Sullivan.
Absolutely, it should have been.
She has a wall of weird.
Oh, yes. It should have been. They probably distanced themselves for obvious reasons.
Yeah, but it's just a shame that, you know, Allison Mack has turned into, like, you know, an actual supervillain in real life, that she could not be the legacy casting that probably would be most appropriate in this.
She
in
should
this
have been
sense.
Lois Lane's mom.
Yes.
But see, on Supergirl, on the Midvale episode, they're like, hey, Clark's friend Chloe, which that episode came out the same week that Allison Magnus broke. Like,
oh, my goodness.
DC, even when you win, you lose. but they mentioned that she was Clark's friend. So if had, you know, small town, if this person grew up there, Clark would have known her. Like, yeah, I want to think in, like, a different universe where Allison Mack didn't do the things she did.
Yep.
This character could have been a Chloe Sullivan. So, and that's the thing, right? You got to separate the art from the artist. We always talk about that. I mean, we kind of have to on Smallville. Let's go down the list, shall we? Let's not. But you guys know what we're dealing with here. So I think that's a missed opportunity. And that's unfortunate because, like, Chloe is, like, my favorite character on Smallville, and she's never to be spoken of again. So
maybe they'll get Eric Johnson to come back.
The Midway episode was the first episode of your podcast that I ever listened to.
There it's we go. And you're still
how
here.
I got into it.
Look at you
Very
now.
Cool. Very yeah. cool.
I really wish they would have done more of those, DJ. Like, I was like, do one episode a season of, you know, Kara and Alex growing up in Midvale.
Yeah.
That would
These
have been
young
great.
Actors were great. That's what
they were.
This was
and,
really great.
And that's that, like, talking about Lois and Clark in Smallville, that vibe I see here as well. So mm-hmm. mix those all together.
Yeah, they had a small town murder, and the sheriff was the murderer.
Boom. Just like in Smallville, suspect Lionel Luthor. Look it up.
Yeah.
Hashtag Smallville did it first again.
Whitney Johnson can come back, and he can be Kyle Cushing's
Whitney
brother.
Johnson. And good. Eric Fordman is going to come back. Oh, wait a minute. Topher Grace, it's all connected. Oh my god. You know what, Casey? Legacy casting? Eric Johnson is perfect because he'd be like, who? Because only people like us would even realize what was going on. Like, he should be the football coach.
Yeah.
You know? Or he needs to be like the assistant coach, right? Who's like racist or something. And we can't remember the Titans, right?
No, he needs to be the manager of the local store.
Oh, the Fordman.
He never left. Football injury got to him.
I want Remember the Titans. I want Friday Night Lights. Like, I want that in the football stories, right? So, but I don't know how you
quick sidebar. Apparently, there was an Easter egg in one of the episodes of a Teague hardware store.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, wow.
So someone got confused and thought Jason Teague was Whitney Fordman.
Well, they probably were just like homaging both the boyfriends.
There it is.
Interesting. Gotta keep an eye out for that
stuff. I was also gonna say Kristen Cruitt could be Lana's sister.
Oh. No.
It's an easy slam dunk as in terms of casting, because like isn't her Bird in a True Show like not too far away from where they shoot?
No, they film in Toronto, if I remember.
Oh, okay. Like I'm sure
that's
like
all Canada, right? How far apart can that be?
It's pretty far.
Yeah, my bad. But yeah, I didn't think about that.
I don't know. I just think it would just be so much of a distraction, right, to have this.
Yeah, I was thinking that after I said that.
I don't know. I want this show to not be gimmicky, right? And I think that that would be nothing but a gimmick on this show. Like, if they find the right like Annette O'Toole as Martha, like, that's not gimmicky. Like, that just kind of fits, I think, right? But, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. But, you know, let's close out with this. My man John Stewart Diggle is going to be on as himself. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be the Green Lantern?
At some point, yes.
Is he going to be in the episode? I thought he was just directing.
No, he's appearing in all the episodes he's directing. That's my understanding.
Oh. I think so, yeah.
You know when he will be the Green Lantern? In whenever the Arrowverse is finished and there's a season whatever comic book, like Smallville.
I thought you were gonna say he's gonna be the last shot. He's gonna like run up to the roof and put on the ring, and they're gonna play the Green Lantern theme. Green Lantern, The Ride.
Yep.
So that.
Well, he did. I mean, he got the ring at the end of Crisis. So wait, so he moved to Metropolis, and now he's gonna bump into him in Smallville.
I have a question about.
Oh,
this.
I didn't think about that. Damn.
I think he's gonna just search him out. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's gonna contact him through General Lane. That's what it is.
I
have oh, you're heard right. About he's just gonna be in a stupid army costume. Oh, man, you just ruined it, Lance, by making too much sense. Is Ernie Hudson going to be there, too?
Nah.
Oh, so I just looked it up. So the scene where Lana tells Clark about Jordan being on the football team, right behind Clark, it says Teague Hardware.
Teague Hardware.
Nice.
Way to misunderstand the reference, guys. Like, the Teagues were like rich, evil people from Metropolis. Sort of.
By the way, Jason Teague was also a player at a high school near where I live back around the time I was in high school.
Oh.
Art imitates life. Imitates art.
Cool.
Yep. Before you go on, I just want to ask a question about John Stewart, the Green Lantern scene. Did they actually show, I haven't gotten to this part in the show yet, did they actually show the ring or did they just show the glow on his face?
He opens up a green box.
He opens up a box and there's a green light.
It's kryptonite.
Yeah. Okay. So they never.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the St. George chest from Lex, and it's kryptonite necklace is in there. Look, I've said this before. Like, that is the feeling I got when I saw that is the way I wanted to feel at the end of Smallville, right? But we had 10 years. Like, had the end of Smallville been in, like, season 5, the Sherpert would have been the best thing I'd ever seen. But he had done that multiple times on the show already. So the fact that they finally paid off something we'd all been talking about for years about John Diggle being a Green Lantern. And also, John Diggle is a good character in his own right. And that's what makes it all work. It wasn't just hey, guys, he's the Green Lantern. Like, that would have been weak. But the fact that he was a three-dimensional character, like, already, who he's my favorite character in the Arrowverse. I haven't seen some of Arrow. Apparently he's issues in season 6 or 7 or something.
Oh. He had some issues.
All right, but not as many as Oliver could possibly have.
God, he's about to have some issues in season 4, remember?
Yep. Oh, no, I forgot.
His brother.
My final thought on Superman and Lois is I love that on more than one occasion, Michigan shirt has been seen. Go Blue.
Michigan shirt.
We haven't seen it last episode.
Yeah,
that's right. His college prospects are going to go down if he doesn't stay the starting quarterback. So.
Yeah.
But he's a freshman. Like, that's... That dude has superpowers. I don't care what they say.
Yep. Agreed.
What season is Jonathan going to turn evil?
2.
I say season 3.
I hope to God none.
You know they're going to do it. You know these shows do well. You know they're going to do it.
Like, can we just have a family that's just chill? There, no one turns evil?
I'm going to say that's like a season six. Like, they probably got a 5-year plan. So that once they run out of their plan, that's when that happens.
Yeah, that's when Lana marries Lex because they ran out of stuff to do with the characters. I hope you're right. I hope they don't do it because I find the relationship so wholesome. Like, oh, good, a family that like that you know they're not perfect, but they like get along and it's a nice wholesome family. We need more of that on television because we don't get enough of it in our own lives. Let me tell you. But
if it happens, I think it's going to be Jordan on Red Kryptonite.
No, see, that's the obvious thing. So that's, I think they're going to reverse it. That's why, because they set up Jordan to be like, I'm moody and I wear hoodies and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan's like the all-American kid, and that's why I think the flip would be, you know, a better twist, quote unquote.
Well, then whatever they're doing is working, because that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, apparently Jonathan gets punished for Jordan. He had to run the 5 laps just because he didn't tell the coach that his brother can play football. Wow. So if they do that now often, I could see how Jonathan could turn against his brother.
It makes me very happy, and I'm an only child. Nonsense like that.
Yeah.
Either way, they're both going to be fully powered by, like, season 3.
Of course, of course. And they can't play football, especially Jordan at this point. He can't be out there playing, you know, on defense, like doing that. He's not playing corner, by the way. He's playing linebacker. Like,
yeah, well, they said he's playing corner. Like, what the?
Yeah, unless they were doing a corner blitz every single play. No, he's out there playing linebacker.
All night.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey, I really liked how Clark didn't play sports in high school in this universe. So that has that off in Smallville. Jonathan didn't even play baseball.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Superman playing football, Chris Fuchs will appreciate this. Dean Cain was drafted by the Buffalo Bills.
He played some, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
not in college he did, but I don't think he ever played a down for the Bills.
Really? Okay. Because I know they would always, I know Matt Truex is always talking about how he works in football and ex-Bills players into Lois and Clark.
I think there was even an episode where Dean Cain wore a Bills hat in I want to say season 4 when the Kryptonians from New Krypton came and enslaved the town of Smallville. He was in disguise as just some random guy.
He used the Marvel in the MCU disguise with a baseball hat.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
I'm Captain America, but you can't recognize me. I'm wearing a hat.
Lois and Clark's Clark did play in universe played in played in college.
We see
a trophy in the.
That's when he lost his memory.
Exactly, the episode that is similar to the Smallville episode where he lost his memory because he saved the asteroid and landed in the hole in the ground.
And that's based off an Adventure Superman episode as well. Yeah,
that's the episode that made me want a Smallville series because they were talking about how Clark. One of his last abilities he got was when he was like 18 and he was learning to fly.
Yeah, that was one of the
You even referenced that because you read my mailbag comment about that when I mentioned that the first,
Case,
like, the first
you,
time
man,
that
I have no memory of any of these mailbags because that was probably like 4 years ago I read that email. But
well, here's the thing. I sent the message. You read it, and you not like live on the spot while you were recording. You remembered the title of the Lois and Clark episode.
It was
where
called
it happened.
All Shook Up. Yeah, which is a remake of Panic in the Sky episode of Adventures of Superman. So that stuff I can remember. But yeah. Oh, Dean Cain played Bo Jackson in basketball for some reason on Lois and Clark. What they're both most known for. Like, you had two sports you could play Bo Jackson in, but you did that.
Yep.
Bo don't know that.
He does not.
And then Phil Mickelson is in an episode. This is just so random. Oh man. Before he was famous, like, I mean, to me, I only knew him as like, oh, the guy who's not Tiger Woods. Okay. That's my knowledge of professional golf. There's Tiger Woods and there's Phil Mickelson. All right, y'all. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking about WandaVision and Smallville and Superman and Lois and everything in between. But if people want to find y'all on the internet, where can they find you? Lance, let's start with you.
They can find me at Sir Lance Lasseter on all of my social medias. And you can find me also on the United Federation of Podcasts talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow. Me and Cavante Chillis host Always Hold On to Arrow. You can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod. And you can also find me weekly talking about all the news in Nerddom on Nerd Party News. You can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party.
Awesome. Yeah, everybody go listen to Nerd Party News. If you want to keep up with all this stuff that's going on online or mess around the Twitterverse or any of that, just go listen to that. They'll get you caught up. Also on The Bachelor. They're really good about those updates as well. So. All right, Casey, what about you, man?
Oh, sorry, man. I fell asleep during that long rant of where you could find
cold
Lance.
Blooded. Cold blooded.
Anyway, you can find me at Casey Cochran 53 on Twitter. I'm also occasionally on Lex Ledger's Into the Speed Force podcast, where we're talking about season one of The Flash.
All right, about you, DJ?
You can find me as DJ Döner on Facebook and on all the non-social media in the internet. If you see a DJ Döner, it's probably me.
And thanks for staying up till like 6 a.m. the next day for you?
6:30.
All right, we got to wrap this up. Joey, where can people find you out there?
You can find me on Twitter at JoeyD94_13. At this moment, usually doing some detective work on finding out that Russell Wilson will indeed be going to the Chicago Bears.
Very good. And what about you, Mateo?
You guys can find me at Matt Santiago 88 on Twitter and Matt 80 Santiago on Instagram.
Alrighty, well, that's going to do it for us this time on our level 33.1 roundtable. We'll be back next time, undoubtedly talking about the Snyder Cut, because that's what's coming up next in fandom, so we'll have a fun conversation about that then. But until then,
always hold on to Smallville.
Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Dewina, Jason Skipper, Nathan Rothacher, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe Mikindo, Steve Rogers, Molly Ficarella, Atif Sheik, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Idzfoppen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magnoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clint Kent, T. Hamill, Helena Gibbs, Patricia Carrillo, Omar, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Goso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine McGilly, Keith Falls, Jay Packett, Cody Thomas, Lauren D., and Alvin Norland. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.